And I ask you to turn also 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. Psalm chapter number 11, verse number 1 this morning. Psalm 11, verse number 1. If you're glad to be here, say amen. If you felt God tug on you just a little bit, say amen. Son, He got tugging on me up there. Woo, glory. Psalm 11, verse number 1, and 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, if the foundation, Psalm 11, 3, if the foundations be destroyed, Psalm 11, 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 15, the Bible says, in that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, A-L-L, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow in Your presence this morning, it's good to be in Your house. I say it's great to be in Your house. I thank You for this day. I thank You for the songs that's been sung. I thank You for the sweet Holy Ghost that has come by and kissed this service, Lord. I thank You for that, Lord God. I pray for the next few moments that You illuminate my mind, loosen my tongue, guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything that I say be all about You and nothing about me. Father, I pray for that one that's walked in and just undone and don't know what to do. Lord God, I pray You'd touch them. I pray You'd help them. I pray You'd heal them. I pray You'd get them out of harm's way, Father. Lord, I thank You for this local body church. I thank You for this congregation and the size that You have brought it to, Father. Lord God, I thank You for that. But I do know when that size get to this size, Lord God, we need the Word, Father. We need the Word. When it's small, we need the Lord. When it's medium, we need the Lord. When it's the Word, when it's large, Lord God, we need the Word. Lord God, I pray this morning that You bless the reading of Your Word, touch it, move it, have Your will and way. Get down to the hearts of the people and get down to the ears of the hearers. Lord, we pray it in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people say it. You may be seated this morning. As we come this morning in Psalm 11 and verse number 3, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? I come to you this morning and I'm telling you that in the world that we live in, there's a lot of foundational truths that are being destroyed right before your eyes and right before my eyes. There are foundational truths that's being destroyed that God has set forth. I heard an old man say one time, don't move the fence post unless you know why it was put there. There are some foundational markers in our life that the world is trying to move. They're trying to pick up and they're trying to move them out of the way, and they're trying to disregard them and act like it's no big deal. And I say to you this morning, Sunday night we preached on marriage, and that's a foundational truth that God instituted from the beginning, and that's what old Satan is trying to destroy. He is trying to destroy the home. He is trying to destroy the marriage. He's trying to destroy kids. He's trying to destroy mamas and daddies. But this morning I want to come to you and tell you that there is a foundational truth, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God is a foundational truth that we must stand on, and we must not let the old Satan come against it. I say to you this morning that the Word of God is trying to be destroyed, but I have good news for you this morning that the Word of God cannot be destroyed. It cannot be diluted. It cannot be polluted. It is the Word of God this morning. And this morning I want to ask you a question. What have you done with the Word of God? I pray it's not in the back seat of your car. I pray it's not in the back windshield. I pray it's not thrown in some drawer. I pray you take that Word and you read it every day. The psalmist said, thy Word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You say, preacher, what's going to keep me from sinning against God? What's going to keep me where I need to be? It's going to be the Word of God. That Word of God, what you do with the book will determine what God's going to do with you. It's the Word of God this morning, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God this morning. And I want to share with you a few things why it can't be destroyed and why it won't be destroyed. You can burn it and it'll still be there. You can throw it away and it'll still be there. I say to you, number one, in verse number 16 is because it's inspired by God. It's God breath. It's God breathed all over it. God has breathed all over this Word of God. He written this book. He wrote this book now. He used men to pen it down. Hey, but He spoke into their ears. He spoke into their heart. He spoke into their spirit. And He penned down the Word of God. It's inspired by God. You say, preacher, are you sure it's inspired? Yes, I am. It is already a settled Word. It is not up for debate. It's not up for dispute. It's none of them things this morning. The Word of God has been settled in heaven. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 89, forever, O Lord, thy God, your Word is settled in heaven. I say to you, it is a settled Word this morning. And when you let it settle down into your heart, your soul, and your spirit, it'll do you good. I see that Word is settled, but I also see that it is magnified. You say, preacher, what will it do? You take that Word that's been settled in heaven and you let it get down into the bone and the marrow, down into your heart, down into your soul. It'll do a work in your life. The Bible says, in 138 and verse number 2 of Psalms, it says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. He's put His Word upon the top shelf. There's no way in the world that this Word can be destroyed, because it is the inspired Word of God. I heard of a story told one time about it being an inspired Word of God. Y'all know the comedian Jeff Foxworthy. You might know that you're a redneck. Said that they asked him to come down to Atlanta and come down into a place where they had rehab and the homeless at. And he thought, oh, all they're going to want is a donation. They're going to want a handout. They're going to want me to do something. And they said, no, Jeff, we don't want you to give a donation. We don't want you to give a handout. We want you to bring the inspired Word of God. We want you to come share the Word of God with these men and women that are here. We don't have a lot of folks that'll share the inspired Word of God. Said him and his preacher went down to that place there in Atlanta, and as they got down to where them men was, they got teaching them men, and they got talking to them men about the Lord and what God could do, and it seemed like none of them men or none of them women in that facility was paying them any attention. And all of a sudden, that man thought, well, I'll get their attention, and he took the Bible that he had in his hand. He just pitched it over in the garbage can, and he said, this is how y'all feel about the Word of God. And said there was this big old man in the back stood up with tears running down his face. And he told him, he said, sir, if you don't mind, please don't treat that Word that way. That Word is what saved my life. That Word is what made the difference in my life. Hey, when I read that book, it made all the difference in the world. And if you don't mind, sir, for just one moment, let me tell you what the book has done in my life. He said, I was undone and didn't know where to go or didn't know what to do. And I was going to get locked up and put in prison. And my mama gave me this Bible, and she wrote my name in the Bible. And I was in prison, and I didn't know all that was going on. And I took that Bible and I threw it away, and I didn't want nothing to do with that Word of God. I didn't want nothing to do with that book. I didn't want nothing to do with that Bible. And he said, I got here in Atlanta. I got out of prison, and I come to this halfway house. And he said, I got in here, and I got thinking about what the Lord had done in my life, but I didn't think no more about that book. And they said, there's an old rundown abandoned building, had 3 stories. And he said, they sent us up there to clean it out. And he said, because I was one of the biggest guys, hey, let me go up first, and I'd throw out furniture out the window. I'd throw things out the window, and I'd just keep throwing it out, and they would load it up. He said, I got up to the 2nd floor, and I got throwing it out, and I got throwing all them stuffs out of that window and all that everywhere. He said, I got up on the 3rd floor, and he said, all of a sudden, as I got throwing, there was a bunch of books in a bookcase, and I got throwing them books down in a box to throw it out the window, and all of a sudden, I looked, and I said, that book looks familiar. That book looks like one I've seen before in my life. He said, I looked at it, and said, Holy Bible. It looked like the cover my mama gave me. It looked like the same Bible. It had the same ribbon in it my mama had gave me. And I said, there's no way that can be that book. I threw that book in the garbage. That inspired Word of God, I threw it in the garbage. There's no way it can be that book. And he said, all of a sudden, I opened it up, and there was my name written in the front of it. And my name was printed down. And he said, right then and there, I knelt down and I gave my life to the Lord. Hey, can I say to you, I didn't go looking for that book. Hey, but that book come looking for me. Hey, this morning I got good news. That inspired Word of God, it'll come looking for you. It'll find you. It'll dig for you. It won't give up on you. If you find yourself in a valley, just remember, hey, that book's looking for you. Amen. I see it's inspired by God. It's a settled Word. It's a magnified Word, but also it's a truthful Word. When you read this book, it's truthful. It won't lie to you. It'll tell you the truth. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. I see it not only settled, magnified, and truthful, but it's a faithful Word. You can stand on this book. If you stand by the God of this book, the God of this book will stand by you. Revelation 22:6, the Bible said, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. I see as I read that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I see the Bible will not be destroyed, number one, is because it is inspired by God. But number two, I see the Bible will not be destroyed because it is the infallible Word of God. You say, preacher, what does infallible mean? It means this. It means that it is flawless. There is not one error from cover to cover. You can't find an error. You can't find a discrepancy. It is true from the front to the back. Hey, can I say to you, you can go to the concordance or you can go to the maps and it's all true. Hey, it's all inspired by God. It's the infallible Word. It's flawless, unbeatable, and there's no error found in this book. You say, well, why do you think that? I want to show you what this book's like. Number one, this book is like, this word is like a fire. This word is like a fire when it gets on somebody. Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9, the Bible said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." Jeremiah said, I'm done. I'm not going to speak no more for Jesus. Do I got any Sunday school teachers in here said that they're done? They're not going to teach no more. They're not going to go no more. Any deacons ready to give up? Hey, can I say to you, if you've been called by God, you can't give up. You can't give in. You can't be a has-been. You need to stick with the course, what God's called you to do. It's the inspired Word of God. It's the infallible Word of God. It's flawless, unbeatable, and no error. Jeremiah said, but his Word was in my heart. But his Word was in my heart. Is the Word of God in your heart this morning? But his Word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. I see his Word is like a fire, but also see his Word is like a hammer. That Word, that same Word that's like a fire, is like a hammer. You don't need no preacher to beat you. You don't need no church member to beat you. You don't need none of that. You know what? All you got to do is open that Bible. It'll do all the beating that needs to be done. That Bible will wear you out. The problem is we don't read it. It's why we ain't wore out. It's because we don't read it. Look here what the Bible says in Jeremiah 23 and verse number 29. The Word's not only like a fire, but it's like a hammer. Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, "Is not my Word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." That Word of God, when you take that Word, he said, all Scripture is given by God for inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I see it's not only inspired, but it's infallible. Not only do you find fire when you read that book, not only do you find a hammer when you read that book, but you find the gospel when you read the book. You find the gospel. You're not going to find the gospel, but in the book. You're going to find that gospel in the book. Romans 1:16, if you'll turn with me there this morning, you find the gospel in the book. This morning it's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is what saves you this morning. When you believe that gospel and you believe that he bled and died on an old rugged cross, willing to confess your sin and ask him to come into your life. You say, preacher, how important is the Word of God? It's our lifeline. It's our lifeline. It's our Word from God. There's no more. This is it. This is all you got. There's no new word. You got a preacher tells you there's a new word, you get away from him. Well, I got a new revelation. There ain't a new revelation. It's all written in this book. It's all written in this word. This is what he's given us. Now, it may be new to you when you first see it and you first find it. And it may be a new revelation to you when you get it and you see it. But it ain't new because God's already had it pinned down and wrote down. Just saying. The gospel is the Word of God. Romans 1:16. Look at this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? That believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I see the Bible is inspired. I see the Bible is infallible. But I also see the Word of God when we read it. The Word of God is inexhaustible. It's inexhaustible. So what does that mean, preacher? It's unlimited and it's endless. You can't figure this book out, but this book will figure you out. You can't get a hold of this book, but this book can get a hold of you. You find somebody says, well, I know it and I got it figured out. They don't know it and they sure ain't got it figured out. I can take that same scripture that I read before and got one way out of it and read it again and get a total different way. I can take that book one time that didn't bother me when I read that certain verse and I can go back and read it again and it just wears me out. Why? Because it's inexhaustible. It's plentiful. It's all that you need. Everything that you need is there. And as a child this morning of God, you need to put that word into your life. I need to put that word in my life. When I was a child, I put milk in. But as I grow, I put in meat. I put in the meat of the word. I put in that word of God that I may grow hereby. You said, preacher, what good will it do when you read that book and you study that book and you understand what God's doing in your life? It's inexhaustible. In the generation we live in, there's a lot of tired folks. This world's beat you down and it's wore you out. You say, what I do, preacher, where I go? The place I can tell you go is go to the book. You looking for God? Go to the book. You looking for Jesus? Go to the book. You looking for a change? Go to the book. You looking for a way? Go to the book. You looking for life? Go to the book. You looking for answers? Go to the book. You got problems? Go to the book. The book will help you this morning. Man, it'll change your life when you get in that book. I've never seen anybody got in the book that the book didn't change them. But the problem with the world we live in, they don't want the book to change them. They want to change the book. And I've read the Bible. If you change any tot, any tittle, you change any of that, it's not good. Revelation said if you change one dot, one tittle, you change one thing, it's not good. This morning, you stand on that book, and I promise you, God of that book will stand by you. Let me show you what that is. I'm talking about inexhaustible. You said, preacher, I got a lot going on in my life. I don't know really what to do. It don't matter what. God's got it this morning. It's unlimited, endless this morning, unlimited. Meets every need we have. It reveals Jesus to us. In John 3:16, I want you to get this. It reveals Jesus as the Savior for the sinner. It reveals Jesus as the Savior for the sinner. Turn with me there, if you will, to John chapter number 3 and verse number 16 this morning. It reveals Jesus as the Savior to the sinner. You won't find this anywhere else but in the Word of God. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means it don't matter who you are or where you've been, He can save you. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only is He the Savior for the sinner, but it reveals Jesus as life for those who are dead. Turn with me, if you will, to John 14 and verse number 6. He's that lifeline to those that are dead that needs a touch. John 14 and verse number 6, we see Him as the Savior, but we also see Him as the life this morning. John 14 and verse number 6 this morning, Jesus said unto him, said unto Thomas, said unto doubting Thomas, He said, I am the way. You looking for the way? The Bible will show you. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. You looking for truth? The Bible will show you truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a new life, the Bible will show you the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But then He makes a statement, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. By who? By Jesus. He's your lifeline this morning. That book's your lifeline this morning. I see He's the Savior for the sinner. He's life for those who are dead. Turn with me, if you will, to John 6:35. I want to show you this in the Bible this morning. John chapter number 6 and verse number 35 this morning. Not only is He the Savior for the sinner, not only is He life for those who are dead, but He's bread for the hungry. Bread for the hungry. Man, if you're hungry this morning, you can get all you want this morning right here. Right here at this altar, you can get all you want. The Spirit will fill you. John chapter number 6 and verse number 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you're hungry, He's the bread of life. If you're thirsty, He's the water you need to drink. I see He's not only the Savior for the sinner, life for those who are dead, and bread for the hungry, but He's faithful witness to those who worry. To those who worry. Do we got any worriers in the house? Don't you? Got a few. We got a lot in the house, a few honest folks. Amen. I worry about stuff I don't even worry about. Worry about stuff don't even come to pass. Worry about what's going to happen. Is it really going to come to pass? Worry about it. And come Thursday or Friday, it didn't even come to pass. And I worried all week. Don't know why I worried, but I worried about it. Does that sound like anybody? You worried about your grades? You worried about your home? Worried about your power? Worried about this? Worried about that? And don't even know why. Your tires are aired up, rolling down the road, but you're worried about having a flat. Everything's going good, but you're worried about what's going to tear up. And ain't nothing tore up, but you're worried about it because you think it is going to tear up. When I worry, listen closely. When I worry, I don't worship the way I should. Listen, this ain't worship now, by the way. By the way, this is a part of worship. When Sister Denise gets up here and she leads worship, that's part of worship. That's part of worship. When the choir gets up here and they get behind, and they get, that is a part of worship. Okay? But don't you get up here and sing. And don't you sing in that pew. And never open that book. Don't you get up here and sing and have a good time and get all emotionalism. Don't you get all emotional on me now. And shout heaven down when the song's going on and then pout when the sermon comes. Why? Because that ain't all worship. Let me tell you what worship is. When you get at the feet of Jesus and you get home and it's just you and Him and nobody's around and the old devourer's whispering in your ear and you don't know where to do and you don't know what to turn and you don't know where to go, and you take that inspired, infallible, inexhaustible word and you lay it in your lap and you let tears hit that page and you let tears and you don't feel like singing and you don't feel like standing up and you don't feel like doing that, and you start reading that book and He says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." You get in that book and He says, "I'm going to take care of you." Hey, you read in that book where He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you wonder how things are going to get taken care of. And He said, "I'm the shepherd. I'm going to take care of your wants. I'm going to take care of your needs. I'm going to take care of what you got. I'm going to take care of you." Then you read in the book where it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto my own. There where I am, there you may be also." When you think God's sleeping and ain't taking care of you, just remember this. He's building your mansion, child of God. Whoa, glory. Get in the book. And the book will do you good this morning. He said, "Preacher, you hung up on it." I'm hung up on it. To those that worry, He'll take care of you. To those who worry. To those who worry. I'm going to show you just in a moment where He takes care of us who worries. I've never seen a time in my life. I'll tell you right now. Man, we've been through it as a church. I'm going to preach tonight why we've been through it. I didn't preach it this morning, but I'm going to preach tonight why we've been through it. You've been through it because you're the church. He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail." That means the gates of hell is going to beat on you. They just won't prevail. I'm going to tell you tonight why we've been under attack. That's for tonight. But listen to me right now. I'll give you this. I'll give you this right here. Listen to me right now, just right quick. We're going to go to the house. We're going to go to the house. Don't worry. Get in that book. Get in that book. Get in that book. You can tell when somebody's been in the book when they ain't. Why? Because they'll talk about it. It'll come out the mouth. It'll come out the ear. It'll come out of them. Ain't no way a book that powerful will get inside of you and it not come out somewhere. Before we worry, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to tell you something. I had a pine tree the other day. Me and Anthony Langley, Brother Anthony Langley, I said, "I want that pine tree to stay because it's nice and it's pretty." Big old thing. I'm talking about, son, me and you, we do this right here, all the way around that thing. We'd have to bring your brother in there. We still wouldn't go around it. Got pictures of it. Got pictures of it. Thing's huge. I said, "Well, I'm going to leave it. It's nice." Brandy pulls up the truck and she says, "Are you leaving that pine tree?" That's my cue. That pine tree don't need to stay. Hello? Hey, let's don't get all spiritual right now. Just work with me for a minute. That's my cue. That pine tree needs to go. My decision wasn't right. I said, "Baby, you want that thing gone? The thing is on good shape." Said, "Yeah, but storm may get it. Something may happen." I said, "Okay, you're about right." I said, "You think we can get that thing down?" He said, "Oh, yeah, it'll go down. Ain't no problem." He said, "But there's something I want to do." I said, "What's that, bro?" He said, "We'll get that thing on the ground. I'll take my saw. Even though we're going to push it down, I want to cut it right in the middle." Man, God started speaking to me, and I thought, where's he going with this? He said, "I want to count the rings. I want to see how old it is. I want to see what's in the heart of it. I want to see right what's in the middle." Now, you can be pushed over. He said, "I want to see what's in the middle of it." Well, I had a 16-inch bar. He brought out one, son, I'm talking about, looked like that. We pushed that thing on the ground, and he laid that saw up there. The drags on it, he done grooved them off. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all, come on, somebody, talk to me. So that thing will really chew and really get at it. He laid in that tree. Oh, yeah. Got about halfway through. I said, "Can I run another half of it?" He said, "Yeah." He gave me that saw. Yeah. He took that dozer and pushed that thing away from there. And you would not believe the rings around that thing. You couldn't count how many rings was around it. I said, "What's that mean, them rings? I want to know what some rings mean." He said, "That ring tells me how long that tree's been standing. That tree tells me how much it's been growing. That tree tells me," and I said, "How long it's been standing?" "Yeah, it'll tell you when it was planted, when it's grown. You just count the rings, the years. It'll tell you about when it was put in the ground." I got thinking, Lord, I hope I meet up with rings on the inside. I hope to God there's a lot of rings on the inside. And I've been growing. I've been standing for God. I've been standing in the Spirit. Been standing in the Holy Ghost reading His Word. The more you get it, the more you're going to grow, the more rings you're going to have. He said, preacher, are you sure with that? Yes, sir. There's going to come a day that you're going to die, and you make sure that you got a ring on the inside. You make sure that you got some kind of growth in the Holy Ghost on the inside. You make sure. And the only way you're going to grow and the only way you're going to expand is by reading that word. And he said, don't worry. I've got you. Look with me in Revelation chapter number 1. Look at me with this right quick. Revelation chapter number 1, if you will, in verse number 5. Revelation chapter number 1 in verse number 5. I ask you this morning, if you was opened up, what kind of rings would you have on the inside? Would you even have a ring? Would you even have any spiritual growth? Would you even have any spiritual growth? Revelation 1:5, the Bible said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood. Jude 1:24, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make an intercession for them. This morning, let me say to you, the word of God is and always will be under attack because it's inspired by God. It's infallible word of God. It's the inexhaustible word of God, and it will influence your life with great power when you read it. When you read that word, I'm going to ask you this question this morning. What have you done with the word this morning? This week, what have you done with the book this week? What have you done with the word this week? What have you done with the book this week? You say, preacher, I'll do better next week. I ain't worried about you doing better. I just want you to read the book. He'll take care of the better. Last Sunday night, we stood in this place. Had a great service. Every Sunday night, we wrap around this building and pray. A lot of you don't know that. We wrap around this building every Sunday night. You have to work. You're on third shift. You got other things. I understand that. But we wrap around this building every Sunday night and pray for one another. We pray for you. You that's got to work third shift, you that can't be here, we pray for you. You that's got loved ones you've got to sit with in evil, we're praying for you. We gather around this place every Sunday night holding hands. We pray for you. We pray the word of God on your life. God to keep you safe. God to keep me safe. God to keep all of us safe. And as we're standing here last Sunday night, right there where Brother Les Carr is where Brother Charles Coburn and Nicole was standing, right there. And I'm talking about, son, he had a glow on him like you had. I'm just a glow. Just a glow on him. And I asked Brother Charles this question. I said, Brother Charles, I don't know if I've ever asked you this or not, and this is very out of my character. I don't do this. I said, I don't know if I've ever asked you or not, but will you pray out loud? Will you pray us out tonight? And he said, well, I usually don't, but I do tonight. And that man got to praying that God would bless, God would help, and God would have his way. About 11:30 Monday, he had a massive heart attack. You say, he's an old man. I wish I could tell you he's an old man. He's 42. 42. He'd been reading his Bible nonstop, constantly, by his confession at the hospital this week for over 40 days. He'd been on a 40-day journey reading the book. The inspired, infallible, inexhaustible Word of God he'd been reading. So, preacher, did it do him no good? Did it do him any good? I guarantee it done him good. Started flooding that soul when he's in that helicopter going to Tupelo. Started flooding that heart, that soul, and that mind, and that spirit. Let me read to you what he was reading. Here's where he had got to on day 41, about 40, 41, where he had got to. They got his Bible and brought it up there, and here's where he had got to. I'm going to ask you something. If somebody went to your Bible, could they find out where you've been reading? If somebody come to your house and you told the kids, go get the book, go get the book. Would they go get this book or would they go get the Sears catalog? What book would your kid know they're talking about? What would they know? If they said, go get the book, would they go get a sports magazine? If they got screaming, go get the book, go get the book, would they go get a picture album? What would they do if your kids start telling them, go get me the book? Would they go get you the book? Or if you put something else higher than this book? Here's what he was reading. Psalm 30. verse number 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. That's what he's reading that day. The day he had the heart. The day. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. The day resuscitated him 4 times. That big old doctor in Winfield, I'm talking about, son got handprints left on his chest. Where the doctor pumped on him so hard. I said, preacher, you shouldn't be telling that. That's life. And if Charles Colby was in here, he'd want me to tell you. Get in the book. It does you good. Let me give you this. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning light. I'm going to ask you this morning, what have you done with the book? It's inspired. You want your work, you want your whole life to inspire? Be a testimony in the world, you've got to put the book in it. You want to be an inspiration? Get the book. You want to be infallible when you tell somebody something, you do it? Get in the book. It'll make you that way. You want to quit being tired and get right where God is? It's inexhaustible. It'll breathe life into you. It'll change you. This morning, I'm going to leave you one question before we have a time limitation. What have you done with the Word of God? A foundation that's trying to be destroyed is the Word of God. I brought it to you this morning so you know. He said, preacher, I love the Bible. I wouldn't never do nothing with it. Listen to me. Listen, you don't have to burn it to neglect it. You don't have to burn it to neglect it. You don't have to cut it up to neglect it. You don't have to throw it away to neglect it. You can just throw it down. That's neglect. What are you doing with the Word of God? When I heard Charles was reading that book, and that's what he read the day he had his heart attack, that moved all over me. You said, preacher, I'm not a preacher. I ain't supposed to read my book every day. I read that book long before I become a preacher. When I got saved, I got a hunger, I got a desire, and I wanted that Word. Man, I'm telling you, that's a love letter to me. And he was telling me exactly what I needed, how I needed, where I needed. And man, I'm telling you what, it's done me good all the days of my life. I'm asking you this morning, what have you done with the book? What have you done with the book? What you do with the book will determine what he'll do with you one day. Father, I love you and I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you. I thank you for this congregation. Lord, I thank you for your Word. I thank you, Father, this morning. Lord God, I thank you that there's people that still pick up the book and read it. Lord, I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I know that. Lord, I know, but they may be one here that's not been reading, that's not been studying, and they don't know what tomorrow holds, Father. Lord, I don't know. Lord, I don't know what it holds, but I do know this. You don't have to be old to die. You don't have to be old to die. All you got to have is breath in your lungs to die. And Lord God, there's people leaving here left and right, and we got an appointment one day, and we need to be ready. And Lord, I want them to be ready in that book, ready with you, ready for when you're calling them. Lord, bless this congregation. You do the work this morning. You touch the hearts. You move on them this morning. And Lord, I pray this morning that that Word would get down into our soul, our spirit, and our mind, and down into our heart. In Jesus' name I ask and do pray. All of God's people said. I ask you to stand. The altar's open. The altar's open.